John chapter 17. Tommy sent me a message this week that Henry preached from this chapter, and I listened to it. A very powerful message, very powerful. He titled it, "Believers Are Not of This World." And I'm going to leave it that way. I'm going to leave it that title, "Believers Are Not of This World." That's a good title for this message. Now, our Lord, we left off in verse 9 last week, but then in verse 9, he says, "I pray for them." God praying for his people. And the mediator, the man Christ Jesus, praying for us. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." Here's the reason he prays for them. They are thine. That's why he prays for them. They are thine. Not only by creation, but by election, by covenant love, redemption, they are thine. "And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them." Our Lord declares himself to be one in essence with the Father here in this verse, in verse 10. Their interests cannot be divided. The interest of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is never, never divided. What belongs to one belongs to the other. All thine are mine, and mine are thine. "And I'm glorified in them." Here's another reason for the preservation of those whom the Father gave him. Here's another reason for their preservation. "I am glorified in them," in their salvation. "I'm glorified in their redemption. I'm glorified in their affections. I'm glorified in their conduct. I'm glorified in their final glory, and I'm glorified in them throughout eternity." You know, that's what we are going to do throughout eternity. We are going to glorify Jesus Christ. Our existence on that new earth, our very existence, our being there glorifies him. You know that everyone whom God saves, everyone who ends up in his presence on that new earth, every one of them are trophies of his grace. You know, Ephesians chapter 2. We are trophies of his grace, is what we are. And he says, "I'm glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world." This is how sure, confident he was that he would finish the work. He says, "I'm no more in the world." He speaks as if he's already gone. "I'm no more in the world." He's ready to depart out of it. And a great change is about to happen for the disciples. A great change is about to take place. They had been with him for 3 years, and now they would not have his physical presence with them, you know, anymore. Spiritual presence, just like we do, but not his physical presence. And how beautiful this is. It's if he's handing them over to the Father. He's saying, "Father, protect them, keep them." He's about to go to the cross. He's about to be forsaken. And he's praying for their protection. He's interceding for their protection. Apply that, listen, but believer, apply that to yourself. The Lord prays for your protection. He intercedes for your protection. Keep them, protect them. Take care of them. But these, he says, "I'm no more in the world," but these are in the world. These are still on the battlefield. You realize that you and I are on a battlefield. We are on the enemy's turf. We are on the battlefield. "And they will be hated and killed for my sake." What a terrible place this world is. This world hates God. When I say this world hates God, that's everyone that does not believe Christ said, "He that is, you know, if he's for me, he's not against me. If he's against me, he's for me." There's no neutral ground. There is no neutral ground. You're either for him or against him, one or the other. But these are in the world. They're still on the battlefield, and they're in an evil world, evil world. And he says, "Holy Father," and he's not talking about the one that they call Holy Father in Rome. That's a devil. That is a devil. "Holy Father, keep them," listen, "till the storm passes by." Keep them till the storm passes by. Keep them safe. Keep them believing. That's what he's asking. Keep them believing. We are kept by the power of God, the scripture says, through faith. Keep them believing. Keep them as one in unity, that they may be one as we are. Keep those whom thou hast given me. You know, the elect of God are the love gift of the Father to the Son. You know that? Every believer is a love gift from the Father to the Son. You're a love gift to Him. "And keep those whom thou hast given me through thine own name," through your own power. The mighty God, God all sufficient. Keep them through your own name. And he says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. I kept them by your power, and I kept them in your name. I kept them by your doctrine, by your teaching. How important is that? Listen to what Paul says to Timothy. This hit me this morning as I was going over this. Paul says to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, listen to this. "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine," the teaching. "Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." It's so important. It's so important that I keep to the teaching of Scriptures. That's how God keeps you. He keeps you by His power. He keeps you by His teachings. He keeps you by His Spirit, giving you an understanding of what He's teaching. He keeps us. And that's what He's saying here. "Keep them through thine own name. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I've kept, and none of them is lost." None of them. Now, our Lord knew that there'd be some knucklehead that would say, "Well, one of them was lost." So you lost one, Judas. Judas was never saved. Judas, he says, was a son of perdition. He was a hypocrite. He was an imposter. There's always wolves among the sheep, tares among the wheat. And Judas was lost. He's lost. "Those that thou gavest me, I have kept." Here's our security. Here's the security of every believer. "Them I have kept." And not one of them is lost. Peter denied him three times. Now, is Peter lost? Peter, is he lost? You know, there's some denomination that believes you can be lost. You can be saved. Then you can be lost. You can be saved. That's not so. That's not so at all. If Jesus Christ died for me, if Jesus Christ has saved me, I'm saved. And that's my salvation. Eternal security is not that I accepted Jesus. My eternal security is this: Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for me. That's my eternal security. That's it. He says, "Those thou gavest me, I kept them." I kept them. "But the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Judas wasn't made to do what he did, was he? God didn't make him do that. You know what God did? God let Judas be Judas. He let Pharaoh be Pharaoh. He says, "God hardened his heart." It says, "Pharaoh hardened his heart." How is that? God let Pharaoh be Pharaoh. That's simple. If God lets John be John, John will leave the gospel. By nature, that's what I'd do. I'd leave the gospel. And what this shows us is that without the work of the Holy Spirit in us, that we would leave without Him keeping us. You see, the Father chose us. The Son redeemed us. The Holy Spirit regenerates us. And He keeps us. He keeps us. He keeps us believing. He keeps us coming. He keeps us praying. You know, you feel impressed to pray about something. You feel impressed to pray for about someone. You feel the weight of sin, and you ask for forgiveness. Without the Spirit of God, you wouldn't do any of that. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't have no interest in being here at all. Not without Him. But there's also something here. Listen, there's also something here that we see, and I want to point out. Being in the presence of Christ is not salvation. Judas was in His presence for all that time. But he never believed. He never believed Jesus Christ. He never loved Him, never believed on Him. And now he says in verse 13, "And now I come to thee as the high priest over the house of God, as the forerunner, as our kinsman redeemer, as our priest." He comes to the Father in prayer, in intercession, and we get to listen in on it. My soul, let's give this our attention. We are allowed of God to listen in on our Lord praying for us, interceding for us. "These things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." I speak these words in their hearing. And I speak these words that are written that you and I, sitting here this morning, might hear Him pray. Do you hear Him? Do you hear Him this morning? Praying in this scripture? This thrills my soul. I could read this over and over and over. This is for me too. "I speak these words in their hearing that they might know my love for them and thy love for them and thy care for them." It's the reason I'm speaking these words in their hearing. "And these things are written that you and I might know Him, and that you and I might have His joy fulfilled in us also." One of the purposes of this prayer was for them and is for us, that their joy or their sorrow might be turned into joy. See, He told them, "I'm leaving, I'm going away." And they were sorrowful. And I understand that. I'd be sorrowful too if I was standing there and had been with Him for all that time and had left everything. They left everything. They jumped out of the boat, left their father, some of them did. They left everything. And now He says, "I'm going away," and where I'm going. "Right now you can't come. Later you will, but not now." And they were sorrowful. But He's speaking these things that their sorrow might be turned into joy. Even in the face of what He was about to endure, He had an abiding joy. And in the face of the trials that you and I are put through, we have an abiding joy in Jesus Christ. And it's His joy. It comes from Him. It comes from Him. It's not natural. It's not of the flesh. It's of God. It's of God. This joy that we have that we cannot explain. This peace that we have, we cannot explain, even when we're going through a very difficult time, is His joy, it's His peace given to us. How comforting. Now listen. Read this, child of God, read this. How comforting to know that the Lord prays for our joy. He's actually praying for my joy. Now, you know what that ensures? That ensures when I go through hardships and hard times, I'm going to have it. Now, there's going to take some growth in grace for this to develop. Just like, you know, you take a child, when a child is born, it takes time for that child to grow up. It takes time for that child to develop. It takes, you know, when that child is born, that child has everything it's ever going to have. It has its, I mean, it's going to grow extra arms and fingers, and it has everything. But there is a maturity that has to take place. And for every child of God, you have everything. When you're born of God, you have everything spiritually. But there's a spiritual growth in grace and in knowledge of Christ. And as you grow in grace and knowledge of Christ, your joy will grow. Your peace will grow. Your interest in Christ will grow, and your disinterest of this world will become, how do you say that, more? You'll be more disinterested, I guess. You become less interested, put it that way. Less interested. I pray for their joy. I have given them thy word. Do you realize what's happening this morning? The same thing that happened to the disciples is happening this morning. I have given them, he's given you his word this morning. He has given you his word. You have believed his word. You know the gospel is true. You stake your life on it. You know it's true. And he's given you his word right now. You're drinking the word of God. You're eating the word of God. And to drink and eat of the written word of God is the same thing as to drink and eat of the living word of God, Jesus Christ. It's the same. I have given them this thy word. And this is more than just speaking the word in their hearing. It's more than me speaking the word in your hearing this morning. It's putting the word in the heart. I'm putting my words. The Lord's saying, I put my words in their heart. You know, there's some that the word just is like, it's not having what you call a saving effect. But there's some who the word is getting into the heart. It's going into the heart. It's convicting you. Or it's giving you peace. Whatever's needed, child of God, whatever's actually needed, the word is giving it. God's giving it to you in his word. That's why it's so important to be in the word of God. Because if you need peace, he's going to give it to you through his word, by his spirit. If you need comfort, if you need convicting. If you need conviction of sin, it's going to come through the word. If you need faith, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I've given them thy word. It's not his. You know, he's not claiming as a man that he came up with this. He said, as I hear, I speak. And when I hear, I give it to them. If you hear the gospel in word only, it's not going to do anything but add to your condemnation. But boy, if you hear it in power, it's changing. It's life-changing. It's changing. It comes in power. It'll cause you to rejoice in the word. It'll enable you to walk humbly before God. If the truth comes to you in power, you will walk humbly before God. And you don't have to try it. You don't have to say, well, I got to try to walk humbly today. That'll be the last thing you do today. But it will cause you to walk humbly before God. And the world, listen, and the world, here's the negative effect. The world will hate them. Hate, that's a strong word, isn't it? That's a strong word. The world will hate them. You know, when I first heard the gospel, I'm telling you the truth. I can't tell you how thrilled I was when I first heard the gospel. And I thought the place I was going, I thought they'd be thrilled. I wanted them to hear what I heard. I thought, man, I thought I found something. I found the truth. I found something new here. And they were upset. I had to leave. I literally had to leave. They were so mad at me. And that's my first experience was shock. It was just like, they hate it. They hate it. And I had to leave. I remember how dejected and disappointed I was. The world will hate you. The religious world will hate you. Nobody hated Jesus Christ more than those religious Pharisees who claimed to be believers. Who claimed it? Well, they claimed to be the children of Abraham, the children of God, They claimed to be in the covenant. They claimed they were it. And they hated him. They are the ones who said, crucify him, crucify him. The Romans, Pilate, they wanted to let him go. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. He was examined by Pilate. And he said, there's no reason for him to die. They said, crucify him. Kill him anyway. I don't know whoever said opposites attract. They must have been of the world who said that. Because in the spiritual realm, like begets like. How can two walk together except they agree? Opposites attract. I don't think so. Not in the spiritual kingdom of God. They don't attract. No. And here's why the world hates them. Here's the difference. Here's why your friends that you used to run with, here's why they can't run with them you no more, and you can't run with them no more. Here's why. Because they are not of the world. You chose them out of the world, but they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. We are one with Christ now. We live in a different world. Do you live, as believers, do you live in a different world? Do you? As you grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ, I promise you, if you're growing in grace and the knowledge of Christ, you're going to start living in another world. And your sights and your hope and your life is set on things above. You know, just as that song that was sang by Peggy, you know this is temporary. Everything in this life is temporary. Everything. I've learned, it's taken me a while to learn this. You ever have such a good day you try to repeat it? have you ever had such a good day, especially when I was a kid and growing up, and a teenager and, you know, as a young man. There were times that I had such a good time I tried to repeat it. Well, I don't try to repeat it now. I enjoy it and then let it go. Because the Lord will give me another good day. That day was that day. And let that day go. When thank God for it. Thank Him for it. Enjoy it. He's given you all things to enjoy. Enjoy what you have today. Enjoy the home He's given you, the house He's given you, the job He's given you, everything God's given you. Enjoy it. It's not wrong to enjoy what God's given you of this world, of this creation. Your health, enjoy your health while you got it. And if God takes it, so be it. So be it. Now, you know, I feel healthy today. I don't have any aches and pains going on, but I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But I know who's bringing tomorrow. Learn to enjoy what you enjoy and let it go and enjoy the next thing when the Lord brings it. Because He's going to time, you know, we have to learn. You think we learn this sooner. But things come and things go. By the providence of God, it comes and it goes. It comes and it goes. Today, I was telling somebody this the other day, but I walk around the church here in the morning. And I was thinking my life is like a book. My life is written. Now listen, my life is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My life is written. It's scripted. It is. I'm telling you the truth. It's scripted. Today, you know, today this is what's going on. And it's just like reading it in a book. At the end of the day, you know what we need to do? Turn the page or you'll never get through the book. Don't get hung up on one page. Well, this happened today, boo-hoo, and turn the page. Tomorrow's another page. And the week, and then the month, and then there's another chapter, then another chapter. It dawned on me that my life is just, it's scripted, it's written. Do you know anybody else better to write it than God? Well, let me write part of it. I know what part you and I write. It wouldn't be any good either. If you could live on this earth, if you could live on this earth, and there's a person I'm thinking about asking this, who claims to believe the gospel. If you could live on this earth forever and ever, would you do that? Would you do that? I was thinking about that as I was walking around there too. I was thinking, if I could live here, and the person I'm thinking of is my dad. If you could live here, he's 90 years old and he does not, he said, I'm trying to keep my feet above the ground as long as I can. You can't do that. I said, you're just your head's above the grave right now. That's it. You think that's mean, don't you? You think that's mean. That's not, that's just truth. That's reality. It's at the end. It's at the end. Would you live here forever? As long as... Now, listen to me. I'm not being hard because I'm not, if I was there, I don't know what I'd think. I don't know. I do know this. Here's what I know. I'm not saying he's not a believer at all. I'm just saying you need to focus on what you need to focus on. You need to put things in proper perspective. And I know exactly where he's at. He doesn't want to leave the family and all that, his relationships and all those things. Those are the things that we have to learn to let go early. We've got to learn to let them go. Because someday we are. Henry said one time, he said, don't make God break your fingers trying to get them out of your hand. Just open your hand and let them go. Just like you'd release a bird. You just let it fly. Let it fly. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. God has made a difference. He's put a difference between the Israelites and the Egyptians. That's what he said. Listen to Exodus 11:17. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites, my people. God said, I've made a difference. I've made a difference. Every believer is a new creation in Jesus Christ. You know that? I mean a new creation. A new man created that wasn't before. There was a time that I didn't exist. Only God can say everlasting. There was a time that every one of us did not exist. And then there was a time when we came into the world. There was a time I was an unbeliever, a God-hater, and there was a time that I was born of God. Born of God, a new creation. I was that one that was never there before. Old things passed away, and all things become new. Old things are passed away. Your love of the world, the principles of the world. When we say the world, we're talking about the principles of the world. We're not talking about material things. Don't be trying to say, well, if I own this or that, I'm worldly. No, that's not it. We're talking about spiritual things. You don't love the principles of the world no more. You don't love what you used to love. You hate what you once loved and love what you once hated. And you're not of the world now. We live in it, but we're not of it anymore. We're not of it. And the older we grow in Christ, It seems to me, if we're growing in grace and in knowledge of Christ, the more distant we are from the world, aloof, the more aloof we become with the world. I don't mean arrogant either, but I'm talking about distance. We're leaving it. It's like you've seen these on television when they send a space shuttle up, or they've seen they've shot rockets up with men on it, and they show a picture of the earth, and you know how distant you see it, And then it's just getting smaller and smaller and smaller. That's how we ought to be growing in grace. The world ought to be getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And Christ getting greater and greater and greater. And then one day we will say with Paul, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Oh, that we could grow in such a manner that we would literally look upon death as a gain. And not something scary, not a loss, but a true gain. A true gain. Born from above, strangers and pilgrims. Love not the world. We don't. We don't love its ways, its principles, its evilness. We hate it. And our Lord said this, even as Christ is not of the world, even as He said He's not of the world, nothing of this world entered into Him. So He said, Satan has come and found nothing in me. He said, you are from beneath, I'm from above. And as He is, so are we in this world. We're not from the world either. And I pray, listen, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. Why does God have me? Why do I have to work here? I worked at a place one time back years, some years ago. And I was so frustrated. And I thought, why am I here? Why, Lord, why did you put me here? Why did you put me here? Well, He put me there because it was His purpose. It was His will. And it was a growing process. There was a real growing process in where He put me. There are some things I had to learn, and I believe some things I learned I could not learn anywhere else or any other way. That's why He put me there. I pray not that you should take Him out of the world. Well, you want to go to a monastery? There's been times I've said I'd like to go to Alaska and get in the back country and not be bothered again. That's selfish, isn't it? That's about as selfish as it gets, is to be separated from everybody. You're the light of the world. What does the light need back in the bush? Back in the wilderness. Why would you put a light back in the wilderness where no one is? You're the light of the world. That's why God put you where you are, me where I am, as a light, as a salt of the earth. That's why He did it. Oh, I pray not that thou shouldest take Him out of the world. But then here's another reason why. The work is not done. Now, the work of redemption is finished. But He said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, of them also I must bring in. Well, you and I are part of the, we get to be part of the privilege of witnessing to His sheep and Him bringing them in. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He has sheep all over the world, scattered all over the world. And we get a blessed part of being in a part of that. We are in His vineyard. We are workers in the vineyard of God. Don't look at yourself as a worker here at this place or that place. You're working in God's vineyard. There's still work to be done in the vineyard. But thou, now listen, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one, evil things, and the evil that's in them. The evil that's, Lord, keep me from the evil that's in me. It's as evil as Satan. What He prays for is there in our preservation. You think we'll be preserved? He prays for our preservation here. Don't let Satan have them, and don't let sin have dominion over them. Peter, he said, I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you. We're no match for Satan. We're no match for Satan. Just tell Satan, go on back to hell. He's standing in your pulpit. What are you talking about? He's standing in most pulpits. This morning, he's standing in most pulpits. He really is. Here's what's so deceptive. He's standing in most pulpits telling the people to tell Satan to go back to hell. That's so. Now, how does he keep us? Well, he keeps us by his Spirit, by his providence, and by his word. He says in verse 16, I'm going to wind this down. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. In their standing, they are not of the world. They stand in Christ. In their nature, they are partakers of the divine nature. Their master is Christ, and not sin and not Satan. In their aim is God's glory. In their citizenship, it's in heaven. My citizenship, your citizenship is in heaven. In their life is one of godliness. They have a different destiny. It's of another world. Truly, they are not of this world. We're not of this world no more. Now, I'm going to close here because he says in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. This I need to spend a little more time with. I don't want to rush through it now. So I'm just going to end it here. All right.